Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I'm back on campus. They don't go back to watch the psychology lecture. Now you get to live in the dorms? This is the best. College baseball, if they embrace this everywhere, is going to be the most popular sport in America really quickly.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
I have gotten away from Pop-Tarts. I'm a fan of the old toaster strudels.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Did I hear you have some sympathy for Michigan State fans who Detroit may be a long way away? But Murray, Kentucky, you got no sympathy for them having to drive all the way to Lexington to play baseball? Come on, man.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And Pat and Ross still down in Destin, Florida with all the SEC, all their SEC friends. So we're going to talk some football there. We've got TV scheduling. We got Peacock games. We've got Coach Prime, Big Noon Prime. We got all sorts of stuff going on. But I got to get to this. This is my favorite story in college sports right now. They're having a baseball regional at the University of Kentucky this weekend. You know, they're hosting West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State. Definitely not an academic summit. It's definitely more baseball than no. say that as a Froggy Mass alum. So they're hosting this thing in Lexington, but unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, in my opinion, Lexington is popping this weekend. The Railbird Music Festival is coming. Pat, are you going to that? You heading over to the Railbird?
I'm not, okay. As a matter of fact. I did not know it existed until I started reading about this particular story.
Zach Bryan, I've even heard of him. We'll be there. Tyler Chillett. So they got that. They've got high school playoffs in softball, baseball, and track. And then over in nearby Danville, there is the Great American Brass Band Festival. Okay. So I don't know if you're going to that. Next thing you know, the Sickos committee is going to put out that some like Kentucky won the brass band national title. Yeah. Oh, I also have an update on the crop judging. I have got the scoop.
Good.
We'll get to that. We are loaded, people. We are loaded this week. Anyway, Lexington, Kentucky is the spot to be. Even before the NCAA regional decided to go there. And as such, there are no hotel rooms available in Lexington or anywhere around it. And around it, it's not going to have a whole lot of hotels if you've ever been to Lexington. So teams and their fans, some of them are going to stay over in Louisville, which is, an hour away at least. Pat, are you housing any of the players or their fans? Or can we get an Airbnb for the 40 household?
I generously offered on Twitter to house players or coaches from one of the teams. We are from our house to UK's baseball field is almost exactly an hour. It's not bad. Okay. You can make this pretty straight shot down I-64. I said I would only charge them derby rates. So, like $800 a night, something like that. I had a coach at one of the schools that's involved actually say want to take me up on this. I said, for you, I'll give you the brother-in-law rate, only $500 a night. But no, it's a heck of a dynamic there. Everybody is squeezed out of everything. So yes, come on over to the 40 household. I'll throw something on the grill. See if I can make a couple grand. Turn ourselves into an Airbnb.
It's got that sweet green egg.
Yeah,
it's cooking burgers as long as you're. Sister-in-law doesn't run it over. Pat, if you have baseball coaches, get gambling advice. Don't worry about you want the long play here. Okay. Yeah. It's college baseball coaches are the sharps, man.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, that still will not, unfortunately, Pat does not live in the Taj Mahal and cannot house all of the interested parties. So
no.
Kentucky officials have decided that they will put teams, coaches, and even fans, apparently, in Kentucky dorms. You can stay in a dorm room. at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, you can stay. You get to stay in a dorm room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first off, every degenerate horn dog in Muncie, Indiana is now a Ball State fan. There's a bunch of 40-year-olds like, got to follow the boys down to Lexington, go stay in the dorm. This is the middle-aged dream. This is old school. Coming to the NCAA baseball tournament.
Going back to campus.
Searching through the closet, I found this guy left his bong behind. It would have been impolite not to smoke.
These guys are like degenerate horn dog.
They're like walking campus, talking to the college girls. Hey, what's your major? Like, do you go here? You look like you're 40. Yeah, man. I got a room, Walsh Hall, room 326. Look at it. I live here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a keg later. Like, dude, it's 2023. We don't drink kegs. We drink Borgs. What do you?
There's a couple people at SEC meetings who this topic came up. They approached me and they were really surprised that Kentucky got to host a regional given the situation. They were surprised and I guess expressing embarrassment for Kentucky that they're having to house people in dorms. But I don't know, it could be fun.
Be awesome. What are you talking about? Every college sports fan is trying to relive college, okay? That's pretty much the whole thing. You get to go to the games and get a little too drunk and cheer crazy. And there's at a point where it's, you know, you go beyond the creep stage when you're noticing the dance team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pretty much it. That's the secret sauce no one wants to admit. I'm back on campus. They don't go back to watch the psychology lecture.
No.
Now you get to live in the dorms? This is the best. College baseball, if they embrace this everywhere, is going to be the most popular sport in America really quickly.
Turn every regional into a dorm bash. I like it.
Yes. If you're going with your buddies, what do you care? You don't want to stay at what? Well, it would have been much better if I gotten overcharged at the Red Roof Inn. Hell no. I want to stay on campus right in the dorms.
Genius. Genius. Maybe Kentucky is the trendsetter here.
There ain't no party like a Ball State baseball fan party. Huh? They're going to find out. They're going to find out. Pat, I expect you to get over there.
I'll do my best. I ain't staying in no dorm, but I'll do my best.
Kentucky officials say the dorms are actually like apartment-like suites that rival any hotel accommodation. Maybe a Kentucky hotel. Let's not get carried away. Any hotel accommodation. But, hell no. I want the dirtiest, least... I want the... No way. I don't want no apartment. I want the old-school cinder block room. Bunk your beds.
Now, the way they do it now in the SEC, modern dorm style, they're a lot nicer than the ones we lived in back in the dark ages. Yeah, I can tell you. They are much nicer.
Well, even better.
If I can interject one actual bit of semi-serious commentary here. If the Kentucky High School High School Athletic Association hadn't moved every single state championship out of the city of Louisville, no, and dumped nine of them, you know, or three of them at one time in Lexington, this wouldn't be a problem. But for some reason, the biggest city in the state has no high school championships. Good job.
Pat's got beef with the Kentucky High School. I like this. Let's start a war.
I'm ready for it. But
don't you want to go play at the state university? Like, that's where you'd...
If you got a place to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really have to stay over? I mean, it's Kentucky. It's not that big of a state.
Well, if you're from Murray in the far west corner, well,
okay,
4 hours to Louisville.
Deal with it. Is Murray any good?
I don't know.
I mean, most of the teams are...
I don't know.
You gotta host it somewhere. Whatever.
Dan, the KHSA cannot sit there and say, well, they shouldn't sit there and say, ah, Murray, you suck. The first region, second region, third region, all that, y'all suck. So we're just gonna make you drive
you
further.
If you don't want to drive a long way, don't live in Murray. There's a choice to be made on where you live. This is America. You can live wherever you want. You don't have to live in Murray. You can move somewhere close. Like, that's your thing. I don't like driving. Why do you live in Wyoming? Everything's 8 hours away. Listen, if it means a bunch of Ball State baseball fans are going nuts in the dorms of Kentucky this weekend, I am for it. I think this is great. I think it's going to be legendary.
Just for the record now, Dan Wetzel, anti-small towns, anti-Olympic sports, etc.
They're like, I hope these accommodations are nice enough for you. Not after we're done with them, they're not. We're going to trash the dorm. God, I thought the freshman dorm was, the freshmen would go wild, not you guys. I'm staying in that dorm. I'm thinking of going. That's it.
I think you should go. Come on down.
Me and David Letterman, we're gone Ball State. If we can get a dorm, I might go. I might go. Big college baseball fan.
We do a live pod from the dorm.
What's Ball State's Cardinal? Cardinal baseball, yeah. Man. Feel the fever.
I'll put on some West Virginia gear. You put on some Ball State gear. Ross can be Indiana. Sean
Huggins
can be UK.
Huggins Cruisers. In the dorm. Huggins right. in the dorm.
Hug in the dorm.
Oh boy.
Huggins is awesome. Like, just want to support the school's teams. is there a better guy to live on your dorm floor than Bob Huggins?
It would be pretty fun. It would actually be pretty fun.
Extensive bourbon collection. Somebody's up there for like summer classes, right? There are going to be some students on campus.
Oh yeah.
Like, is that Bob Huggins and down the hall? Like, do I shower next to this guy? Like, hey, all right.
Wheeling in a suitcase full of Eagle Rare.
Yeah. Has he done his sensitivity classes yet? Maybe he can take them.
He would probably need to take them before he gets there.
Whatever. Yeah. Absolutely terrific. Calipari's probably got a big house. He could house a couple of these guys.
I tell you where there is room is the Wildcat Lodge, because none of the players are coming back to school. So they've got some room there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
They're down to 7 guys right now on the team. Maybe 8.
Well, they got like 5. They got like 5 of the top 10 players coming, though.
Yeah.
Talent will not be a factor. Talent will not be a factor. All right. Couple football items here. Some of the TV schedules are released. Early season, different TV schedules. Fox, the big noon game, week 1. TCU taking on 1-11 Colorado. Big noon. Week 2, Nebraska against 1-11 Colorado.
Wow.
Coach Prime has got Colorado on the big noon Fox's prime game, no pun intended, 2 weeks in a row. And then week 3, the Colorado State game's on ESPN, like the regular ESPN. And I think Colorado put out a release saying that hasn't happened in 30 years. We've been nationally televised the first 3 games.
Wow. Incredible. I mean,
prime effect.
Yep. Immediate draw, immediate curiosity. They may still be terrible, but
could be 0-3 and we don't hear from them again, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could legitimate start. You know, we talked about it before. Their like openings, probably first half of the season, pretty brutal. Like, they could legitimately start at 1-5.
Yeah.
I think they'll be an underdog in 5 of the 6.
Yeah, I give them no hope against TCU, maybe some scant hope against Nebraska, and then they should beat Colorado State.
Nebraska's at home. I mean, that'll be wild. They sold out their season tickets for the whole year.
Yeah.
But I don't recall, and I mean, look, they're playing defending runner-up TCU, or reigning runner-up. And then Nebraska's a historic game, and they've got their own rebuild with Matt Rhule and all that. But I don't ever recall the arrival of a coach meaning so much to television. Like, do you think people will watch? Like, is Fox right here that people are going to watch out of curiosity to see what Deion Sanders is doing?
Yeah, I think absolutely. The first week, probably 2 weeks, they absolutely will. Just because, hey, what, you know, people have heard about this buzz about Deion and this whole new roster. And if he's going to come swaggering out there wearing the cowboy hat on the sideline, I mean, it's a heck of a visual to start a game. You got Ralphie running around, and then you got Deion running out there in a cowboy hat. Now, I think once it's evident that the team isn't very good, that that'll probably change, but capitalize early. Absolutely. People will tune in to see that first game, and then Nebraska has a humongous following, so people will watch that game regardless. So I think Fox's bet on Deion here is a smart one for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I was looking at their first six games, and I remember we talked about it before, but yeah, TCU, Nebraska, Colorado State, at Oregon, USC at home, and at Arizona State. So, yeah, it's a tough sledding for the Buffaloes early on. But it is amazing that they haven't, you know, played a game yet. I don't ever recall just so much hype and build up around a team without a coach without having coached a game. I think we talked on the show before about, like, it reminds us of Saban's hiring at Alabama maybe during that off season and all the attention and all that. Of course, that has gone quite well for Alabama. I think it lived up to the hype, I would say.
Yeah. Even he lost. Who'd they lose to? La Tech or what was
Monroe.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh
yeah, his first year.
I was at that game, and in the press conference afterward, he basically and probably rightfully so blamed everything on Mike Shula.
Yeah, legitimately.
Yeah, probably legitimate.
Yeah. I mean, when Harbaugh got to Michigan, there was intense curiosity, and they opened his first game was on a Thursday at Utah, which was weird scheduling, but made for a, you know, talk about owning that platform right there that night. I was there for that game, and that was a big buildup. But this is so pure, like, just Deion's personality and magnetism, and then a whole new roster. What the heck does this team possibly look like?
Yeah, but, like, he's even got, like, named guys. Yeah, it's just going to be it's going to be amazing. You're right. I forgot about – I mean, when Harbaugh took the Michigan job, man, Harbaugh's only been there, what, like, 7 years? 8 years?
Yeah, 2015 was his first year.
It feels like 30, I swear. Like, it's just – there's because there's been, like, three eras, right? He was, like – it was hot, then they couldn't get over the hump, then he was going to get fired, now he's hot again. But, yeah, it was – that was – remember, everything he did was a big deal.
Yes.
Everything he did. But I, yeah, this is purely, this isn't like, well, Harbaugh at Michigan, they could, cause I think, like, Brady Hoke left him some players, you know, right? I think it was Rashawn Gary there then. And I mean, you know, like, it was like they can win. And Ohio State was not, they had Urban go, yeah, they were going pretty good. I don't know. It felt like Michigan could win a national title in 2-3 years.
Well, I thought the other one is Urban, you know, when Urban was hired at Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty good.
But again, that was Urban's going to win one, and he went undefeated his first year. They just were on probation.
Yeah,
and then did they win it the third year?
No, third year, 12, 13, 14 was third year. Yep.
Okay, third year they win it. Same thing. Saban, you're like, okay, they're going to win national. No one's thinking Colorado's winning the national title, except maybe
no. Dion. I mean, that's the thing. In all three of these instances we brought up, Saban, Alabama, Harbaugh, Michigan, Urban, Ohio State, it's big name at a huge brand. This is big name at Colorado, but he managed to get all these players there.
And Urban and Saban had won a national title. Harbaugh had made the Super Bowl and made Stanford into a top 5-8 program. So he hadn't won the title, but Deion has coming from an extraordinary last 2 years at Jackson State, but that's FCS. It's not, hey, I was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I got the ring. So, but he's recruiting like those guys. Anyway, that's good. All right. Speaking of Michigan, their opener this year, East Carolina, is on Peacock. NBC has released some of their early season games, and concerning is how I would describe it. The original discussion with NBC, the celebration of this NBC deal, was there'd be like at least 8 games on Peacock. Maybe it's just 8. Maybe it's more. I don't know. We're going to see, because I think they're still working out these details. But Peacock is a streaming service. And so East Carolina at Michigan. All right. Look, if you're a Michigan fan, you're going to have to get Peacock. Then next week, Delaware at Penn State. Like, how many Penn State Michigan fans are going to sign up for Peacock because of their team is on? They really want to watch the East Carolina game. How many skip? I don't know. But they're going to put the big brands on there to try to get the sign up. The same way they did with Big Ten Network once.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the thing, Big Ten fans, you got to get the Big Ten Network. You got to get Peacock. This whole thing. Here's the one that is concerning. Saturday, September 16th, Washington at Michigan State, Peacock only.
Wow.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Washington's top 10 team, maybe. Michigan State's rebuilding. If I'm Michigan State, this is a big opportunity for us. Mel Tucker trying to get the program back, trying to get some momentum, trying to get people to pay attention. It's your biggest non-conference game. And it's not available to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, now that you actually start seeing the schedules in front of you, it is, there is some sausage being made here as part of these Big Ten deals and all of the platforms they've made deals with. And you do start to realize if you've got 3 broadcast partners, and we've talked about this, Dan, you brought it up. You don't have 3 tiers of great games to offer necessarily every week. And to put some of them on Peacock, yeah, you are basically trying to force a big audience onto your streaming service there in Michigan, Penn State, for sure. And then have a big game with 2 power conference teams there. But if you look, I believe in their week 2, week 3, something like that, there's like Charlotte at Maryland in primetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, some of these NBC primetime games are rough, man. It's Charlotte at Maryland on September 9th at 7:30 on NBC. Syracuse at Purdue, September 16th is the 7:30 p.m. NBC game. They kick off the season in West Virginia at Penn State. This is from Brett McMurphy's Twitter. He reported this yesterday. These NBC games are, these primetime games, the first 3 weekends. West Virginia at Penn State's not bad, but that's the opening weekend.
Yeah.
Charlotte at Maryland, Syracuse at Purdue. So I was talking to somebody here at SEC meetings actually yesterday about this, and they brought up a pretty good point. You know, the Big Ten TV deal originally was obviously Fox and ESPN, and I don't know if these numbers are exactly right, would say like Fox had 65% of the games, and ESPN at 35%. And the Big Ten basically took the 35% from ESPN had, and they broke it in 2, and then they jacked up the price, and it was good, beneficial for them money-wise, financially, but for the network, those 2 networks, NBC and CBS, to have to split basically 20% each. You're seeing the result, right? Charlotte at Maryland. So It's no wonder that ESPN didn't get involved or had pulled out, because some of these games are going to be a little watered down. The person I was talking to here actually said, you know, conference TV deals are made for 2 partners, 2 TV partners, not more than 2, because of how watered down the schedule is. And that might be different with like the SEC, where you basically have 8 pretty big name brands, but we're seeing.
Even then, they need to play that 9th game. That's why it's important. That's why USC and UCLA are in this league. You need more games that are good. We brought this up originally. We went through the schedule and we're like, which is the 3rd most interesting game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think NBC is sitting there going, well, we're going to, okay, Penn State, West Virginia is going to be a great scene, a lot of passion. It's kind of, you know, it's the backyard rivalry part 2, right? For West Virginia, but that game could be interesting until they kick it.
Yeah.
West Virginia is not expected to be great. We'll see. Penn State is. You know, Penn State's definite playoff contender. But after that, but this is what's concerning to me, is you could do Washington at Michigan State in prime time.
Yep.
And instead, they're saying, we're going to get murdered that night by somebody else in the ratings, so we're going to make it on Peacock. We have to make our money on Peacock. And this is, you know, we say all the time on this show, the biggest con college sports, well, not the biggest, but one of their big ones, is selling their fans to cheer how much revenue the school is bringing in. Not only do you not get the money, not only do you not need, you know, a fourth assistant baseball coach or chartered flights for this team or all this stuff that's going on, or a 16th analyst on your football staff, or a new weight room 3 years after the last new weight room. But now you're going to be paying for it.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're a Michigan fan, diehard Michigan, well, some of them are going to go to the game, but if you're the big Michigan fan and you just wanted to watch, you already live in LA and you're a Michigan fan and you, all right, East Carolina, I got to watch this game, and you have Big Ten Network. Well, now you got to get Peacock. So you're paying for the increase. The increase isn't coming from TV. With this streaming stuff, it's coming from you.
Yeah. Yep.
So they just found a way to take your money to bolster their salaries and then sold you on how great this was. And if you're just the, you know, not everyone's going to do it. A lot of people already have Peacock for some other reason, but there's a lot of old, reliable fans. This is not happening. They don't know how to find it. They don't want. And if you're Michigan State, I'm looking at this Michigan State. They just announced a few games here, but they did this last week. Like, if you're a Michigan State fan, you want to watch them play Washington, or you're a Washington fan. How about this just for Washington, too? But you schedule Michigan State, Big Ten game, all this stuff. Okay, you're gonna get this game. You're going to get the game. You're going to stream it. You're going to sit down and watch for 3 straight hours. I don't know all the other games that are on at 5 p.m. on September 16th, but for the rest of us, this is like a second, it's like a second, third, fourth game that you might monitor, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Washington, Michigan State got really good. Let's watch. Let's click over there, and all of a sudden you start watching. Now you don't do that because it's on streaming. You can't change the channel as quickly. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you forget it's even on. And for programs like Washington, Michigan State that are trying to grab attention, that's a lost bit. And I'm looking at Michigan State. They lose their biggest non-conference home game from TV. And then they get their Friday, November 24th game against Penn State, which was supposed to be at Spartan Stadium. It's supposed to be they usually play Penn State Saturday afternoon after the Michigan-Ohio State game. Penn State plays Michigan State. Well, NBC wanted that thing in prime time. And Michigan State sat there and said, we might not be that good. Like, it could be snowing. It's colder at late night on a Saturday night. We'll move it to Friday night to Ford Field in Detroit. Now, they're going to get a national exposure on that, but they're not on campus. They get to play in Detroit. It's not a total loss, but, man, Michigan State made some concessions here.
Big time. Big time.
Yeah. Was that part of the TV situation with the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
Kind of the issues going on, right? Yeah.
Well, NBC's like, I need ratings. I can't have Penn State, Michigan State. We don't get that. We're a prime time.
Yeah.
I need Penn State, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Now, Michigan State might have 4 wins by then, but they're sitting there saying, all right, we'll move it Friday night, give you exclusive window, and we're going to play the game in Detroit, not in East Lansing. And there's a lot gets lost in that, right? First off, some of your fans, Detroit's a long way away. It's like, whatever. It's just different. Like, you move a game and nobody's expecting Friday, Friday night game. All of a sudden you move it to Black Friday. Well, wait a minute. So Michigan State is getting, you know, I'm not going to say this is some tragedy for Michigan State, but it's not great.
Did I hear you have some sympathy for Michigan State fans who Detroit may be a long way away? But Murray, Kentucky, you got no sympathy for them having to drive all the way to Lexington to play baseball? Come on, man.
I have no sympathy for them. They always play in East Lansing. They didn't move the campus. If you're a Michigan State season ticket holder, you go, well, I guess the games would be at home.
Yeah. Well, I know. I just think I'm still looking out for Murray over here. Okay.
Okay.
Pat, the good people of Murray.
The mayor of Murray.
That's right. But
if your kid makes the state championship, you get in the car and drive as far as you damn need to.
Yes.
I would just come to Detroit and party, have a good time. But I don't know. I mean, that's tough for Michigan State. I don't know. Maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse to get a prime game, but. Like, this is a team that's getting altered. They're not going to mess with Ohio State, and they're not going to Michigan. Like, okay, you could buy Peacock for that East Carolina game, or you could just go about your life. And, you know, Michigan, you'll be – I don't think the Delaware – Penn. You got to be a pretty big-time Penn – I feel like if you're such a big Penn State fan that you got to pay for the Delaware game, you're probably just attending the game.
Yeah, right. But as a public service to the fans of schools that do end up on Peacock, I looked it up. They have a special going on right now. You can get it for $19.99 for a year.
Oh, wow.
Normally $49.99 or $4.99 a month. So, but they are offering a special for $19.99 a year. So. Podcast trying to save you all some money.
See, here we are. I don't know. I guess I just wonder about the continuity of the whole, just like something's going to get lost in this streaming. It's just going to get clunky for a while.
Yeah, no, they squeezed all the money they could out of this TV deal, but there is a cost that comes with it. And it comes back to, as you pointed out, to the fans. Buy the streaming, deal with the, deal with the games being moved, et cetera.
All right, SEC meetings. I know they have not solved the 8-9 game conundrum that they just are baffled by. what I want to hear, though, is I know at the SEC meetings they have like little like coach media mixers and stuff. Like, what do you guys have little like, is this like Bama Rush down there? What?
Not quite, Dan. There was a reception.
What are you guys doing? Are there little dinners and stuff you guys go to?
Well, it's not really media. Media really aren't invited to the dinners. A lot of the teams have like little socials the opening night on Tuesday night. So there was a lot of individual schools that have socials for their everybody at their school that's here. Because so usually each school will bring anywhere from 10 to 15 people. You know, you have your athletic director, your athletic director's executive kind of council, so the deputy, a couple associates, the sports information people are here. Then you have the president and sometimes a couple of his people. Then you have the coach, you know, football coach and basketball coach with a couple of their maybe staff members or chief of staff. So it's a lot. And they each have like an opening kind of social. And then the SEC in general has an opening reception, which media are invited to on the beach. So that was Tuesday night where we mingled it around. And
anyone got pretty drunk with Saban?
I was about to say there's pretty big celebrities there, including Nick Saban. He made the rounds. No, there was nobody that got really trashed or anything at the SEC reception.
What was Saban drinking?
Ooh, I don't even recall that he had a drink, as I remember.
I didn't see him this year. I saw him last year, and he was circulating. I don't think he drank anything, and he was just kind of, you know, stick and move, and it was not – he's not one of those guys that's just going to get stuck in a conversation, period. He's going to keep – you know, he lacks the interest in any of the people that would be at that function to –
I hope he's got better people to hang out with you two. I mean, I'm like, this is my job. I got to do it a couple hours a week.
Yeah.
Saban's got other things going on.
Yeah.
Which SEC football coach would be best to just kick back on that beach and get hammered with?
Sam Pittman, man. Come on,
Pittman. Yeah.
Pittman's a good one.
I mean, yeah. Leach, we'll call it the Mike Leach Award.
Mark Stoops would be a good one. In fact, here last year on the first night, the first night is the big night because you have everybody here. Your coach, everybody comes. Coaches leave on Wednesday. They're already gone. But the first night, everybody's here, and the lobby bar at the Hilton is usually the place to be. And last year, Mark Stoops and Mike Leach, I think, shut down the lobby bar that Tuesday night. But Mark Stoops would be a good one, too. You know, he's a big, I believe he's a big cigar bourbon guy.
So he'd be pretty fun. Access to some good bourbon. He's got inside access.
Yep, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Those two guys, Pittman's usually circulating at the outdoor function. You know, sits by the pool and they got nice food. They got average at best beer. But Pittman and his wife usually in tandem moving around there. And she's very charming, very nice. I spent quite a while talking to Chris Jans, the basketball coach at Mississippi State, and his wife, Sherry. Very good company at this sort of thing. The basketball coaches kind of tend to, I think, be a little more circulatory, especially at this thing. Nobody wants to talk to them. It's so funny. I mean, maybe Calipari gets stopped when he walks through, but that's like it. Rick Barnes, who's won, you know, 9 million games and everything, he walks by like he might as well be a bellman. I mean, nobody's paying attention to him. So they enjoy, I think, coming down and not being bothered, but then eventually they want to talk to somebody. So you get a chance to talk to them a little bit. But and then, you know, Sankey will say, like, you know, a few words and thank Allstate for sponsoring the little mixer. And then everybody just does their deal. Dennis Gates from Missouri, talked to him for a bit. But it's
Pittman crushing beers. What's Pittman drinking?
He'll drink some beer.
No, yeah. You know what? I saw him and his wife at the reception Tuesday night. They had a martini, a separate martini bar, just martinis. And he was sipping on a martini, I am pretty sure. Can't report that exclusively, but I'm like 90% sure Sam Pittman had a martini, was at the martini bar. Yeah.
Just this discussion's going to shut down the mixer.
That's right. I know. Wait. There's just a few SEC administrators that listen to this pretty regularly. And we're about to get in a whole lot of trouble.
You don't want anyone knowing Coach Pittman's drinking a martini. I did not see him as a – can't have that. I mean, they're at the beach. It's their, like
– yeah.
It's their one day off, kind
of. Well, a lot of people, a lot of the administrators that come here, I bet half or more than half bring pretty much the whole family. You know, it becomes like a family vacation type of thing. And a lot of them are staying over. You know, everything ends Friday. A lot of them are staying over. And, today is in Friday the big day. Big days here because the president's got into town yesterday, Wednesday. They actually had a big presidential welcome party last night and a dinner at a local restaurant here. So they'll meet with ADs today in a joint session, which is like the most important session basically the whole week. And they'll start to outline and probably come to an agreement on things that they will officially vote on the president's on Friday.
So what's with the SEC NIL deal? What are we going to do?
Hang on one second here. The rest of the story of last night's SEC presidential dinner, it was at the same restaurant where we were having Ross Dellinger's birthday dinner. So,
hey, happy birthday, Ross.
Yeah. The presidents didn't come over and crash our dinner, nor did we go over and crash the president's dinner either.
Yeah.
They kept us separate, Dan. We had a media table basically off in the corner.
Yeah. Coach Dell was there, I know.
Ross Coach Dell was there. Yes. Coach Dell
legendary
was there.
South Mississippi special teams high school coach.
Famous political reporter Elizabeth Crisp was there as well. So
I have a little Elizabeth Crisp story. Let me give a little Elizabeth Crisp update. Famous political reporter. She's from The Hill, right? Covers The Hill.
That's right, yeah.
So she said she sent a little thing out here.
Yeah.
I ran into Ben Sasse. Now, Ben Sasse used to be the senator in Nebraska, and he's now the president of the University of Florida. He ran into Ben Sasse apparently at this restaurant, and he was on the phone but standing in front of the women's restroom. I asked him, are you in line for the ladies' room?
Yes.
We're not going to get into this, but this would be quite a story in Florida.
Oh boy!
These days,
I think the governor.
We're really going to get in trouble here now.
We're dead. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. Yeah. I tried to pitch this scintillating story to Ross Dellinger for a brief feature on the pod. He declined to have me on as a guest correspondent. Elizabeth, thank you for reporting it to the rest of the pod. So we now know. There you go. Fun times at the Dellinger birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. Fun times were had indeed. It was good. They had a live band going, playing some of the 70s and 80s hits. It was really it was a good time.
Yeah, right, 8 o'clock. The dance floor was full of old people dancing. Eight p.m.
Well, yeah.
Oh boy. All right, this is getting off the rails. What's up with the NIL? What are they coming up with NIL?
Yeah, so I think we talked about my story that I posted on Tuesday was kind of about the SEC's trend that's starting, which is teams operating NIL kind of out of their foundation or under the umbrella of their fundraising arm, their foundation. Which the NCAA contends is illegal, but schools can do it right now because certain schools can do it because their state law, they changed their state law protecting them. So the second part of the story dropped on Wednesday, and it was about solutions, right, to this issue, solutions to NIL in general. And it's been a year or more where the SEC is really trying to consider a lot of these options of athlete compensation and how to get a more regulated system. And I think they've kind of settled on a plan B, so to speak, if Congress does not produce a federal NIL bill. And plan B is becoming clear. The first couple of days here, it's become pretty clear what it is. And it's to have a conference policy, to have the conference headquarters police or enforce and maybe even create NIL policy. In order to do that, a few things have to happen, but one, all of the 12 SEC states have to mirror one another, or at least get close enough to set some standards. So that's kind of going on. About four of the states, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, and Oklahoma, have changed in a way that allows this foundational NIL. It allows you to be protected from NCAA enforcement. And SEC enforcement. And that's the thing that's going to be weird. If the SEC is going to have a conference-wide policy, some of these states right now are saying the SEC is barred from enforcing. So there's a lot of hurdles to get there. And there's legal issues, too. You know, Jerry Moorhead, the Georgia president, who's the president of the SEC Executive Council, he says that he fears any kind of conference-wide policy could be subject to a lawsuit. And so it's not easy. They've been talking about a system. They've been talking about giving more Austin money. I think the Big Ten's been talking about that as well, expanding Austin to give more players money. But how much should they give? Is that employment? Probably not helping the whole employment argument. College athletics don't want to see players be employees, and so they're trying to distance themselves from that.
It's be fascinating to me if like the SEC just kind of forms its own thing there and, you know, gets everybody's state legislature or whatever in line with a SEC law or rule. And then would they really enforce it? Or is this just like, you know, leagues, the whole thing, the whole reason there is national enforcement with the NCAA is because the conferences don't want to do it. They don't want to tell their own schools, oh, we're going to punish you for cheating, because they don't want the punishments. And their TV partners certainly don't want them punished. So I'm skeptical of any solution that involves conferences enforcing their own rules. They have proven to not have much interest in doing that.
Yeah, it's funny because everyone hates the NCAA, but then it's like, the line about democracy is like the worst system except for all the other systems. like there's no trust if everyone's got a different system. And now they leave like campus discipline and suspensions and stuff like that. But there was a time when the NCAA tried to even police like admissions, right? They had Prop 48 and all that. They gave up on that. But you kind of do need somebody. I don't know. Here's my thing with all this. And I don't know why more schools haven't done this. Be as like, until there's a rule that you're violating, I would just be as aggressive as possible. I give the administrators credit. A lot of them are just extremely well-meaning, more well-meaning than I am, which isn't hard to be, but definitely well-meaning, and they're like, well, that's not really in the spirit. Like, I would just be going not. It's like, like if they had a loophole in a rule on the field, right? I don't know. Say like you could use like the Canadian Football League thing where your wide receivers could be in motion forward right before the snap, and it'd be a huge advantage. Every single coach would immediately be like, well, we're doing that until they say no. You wouldn't sit there and go, well, that's just not how I was taught football. And we're just going to lose. We're just going to lose this year until they reform. Like, everyone would immediately go with it. But in this, they're all very cautious instead of just being like, well, there's the loophole. I'm buying. And then, oh, all right, next year, can't do it anymore. And it feels like this is maybe a slight move in that direction. I don't know.
Yeah. And everybody's watching A&M to see if they get in a little in any trouble, right? Everybody's kind of
A&M's
watching A&M.
More like my, it's my way of thinking.
The test case. Yes. Yeah. They are the test case. And they don't seem very scared. You know, talk to some people just over the last few weeks, either at or around A&M, and they're kind of like, hey, we have lawyers. All right.
Yeah, dude, you can get a lawyer reading a billboard on the side of the bus. I mean, what kind of lawyer you got? I mean, that's...
They have plenty of lawyers and plenty of money.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They went after it, and
they haven't started signing anybody yet. Their new NIL initiative, which is again part of their foundation, has not signed anyone yet. They're building infrastructure. They say, you know, A&M says it's building infrastructure, staffing, fundraising, and that's where the delay is, when I think the real answer probably is they're waiting for the Texas bill that would protect them from enforcement to kick in on July 1. And I think that bill has to be signed still by the governor. I don't know if he's done it yet.
I talked to John Duncan, VP of NCAA enforcement, a week and a half ago or something like that, and he said more than half of their active cases are NIL related. So there's quite a few places that them and their collectives are probably under investigation. So that may be a factor in some of these places, as well as they're kind of easing their way up to what they can do or can't do.
Well, according to Jimbo, nothing happened. So I believe
him.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
I believe the man. But I think this is the frustration of like fan bases with certain, especially some of the ADs. I certainly think you hear it at like Ohio State fans, Michigan, Notre Dame. Like, why the hell are we getting outbid by Texas A&M?
Right.
Right. Yeah. If this is going on and it's legal, like, okay, A&M's got a lot of money. So doesn't Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, or why aren't we just going with it? And again, strategically on the short term, not a good idea perhaps, but I do credit those guys for like having that. I mean, I'll give them credit for it. Just, but I think it's just sort of like, well, we're not sure we want to be involved in that. It's like, well, why not? Because I think most of the fans just want to win. They're not really that.
Shoot. I mean, there are a lot of schools like that, right? I mean, I went on earlier this year, visited a few schools in the ACC. And there's a few schools in the ACC that are not doing the full Alston payment still. I thought most, if not all, Power Five schools were giving the $6,000 a year to athletes for the Alston payment. No. So there are a lot of schools already just pushing back on that, or either can't afford it, or as a lot of them say, right, and Dan just mentioned it, we're just not going to do that. We're not getting in that realm of straight paying additional revenue to athletes. And I remember, I think Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame, he joined us in a few weeks ago. And I think one of the things he said was, look, when this goes from quasi semi professional to professional at some point, you're going to have schools, specifically maybe smaller private schools, that are going to go, nope, we're not doing it. We're going to be a club team.
Yeah. Yep. That will be if we get to that tipping point, that's going to be fascinating, because that will be a moment of truth for some places that just say, nah, we're out.
Or they're only going to be in on a certain sport or two.
Yeah. Right. You get the Wetzel dream scenario. You start killing off Olympic sports.
But I don't know. Yeah. But like, what if it's even like football? I can't imagine it. But like, does anything about Boston College change if they have a football program or not? I'm not trying to get rid of like Boston College's football program, like whatever. But like, how many kids are going there?
Yeah,
right.
Like you need like Alabama recruits students, the actual paying students. We talked about their because of their sorority rush and their football team.
Yeah.
More right, it's a huge, huge part of this. It's the front porch of the university, Michigan, all these schools. Like, are all these kids going to Northwest? If Northwestern doesn't have Big Ten football, does it? Do they still? Are they still one of the 10, 12 hardest schools? Are they still sitting there going, "I got 50,000 apps, and I can't." You know, they're all great. Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, at what point are you like, man, this is just a bridge too far? I have a hard time believing that even in football, but I don't know, maybe. Maybe. One other television note. Week zero, 5:30 p.m., ESPN, main ESPN, week zero. UMass Minutemen visiting New Mexico State.
All right.
Wait.
The Minutemen main going ESPN? West.
Main ESPN.
Oh, ooh, my goodness.
Fancy. New Mexico State's first time in years. I don't know if UMass has ever been on Main, except when they were like in the FCS championship game. Like. Talk about, I forgot to mention this earlier, talk about like scraping for games.
That says everything. Someone at ESPN about week
pulled
zero.
The trigger on that dog. Like, are we getting Fowler and Herb Street in Las Cruces?
No, I am game reasonably certain.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Week zero, man.
Yeah. You know, that there's one for you, for the fans out there. If you're looking for that last weekend of summer before you're going to hunker down and watch football for 15 straight weeks. Week zero is plenty available for your alternate plans. Mm-hmm.
Take the kids on a bike ride. Yep.
Yes.
Score some points. It's going to get ugly the rest of the fall.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's go look at hot air balloons. How about a hike, hon? Last summer.
Ice cream all festival.
Right. All right. The great crop judging split national championship controversy.
Oh, yeah. Ongoing saga.
We were baffled that the collegiate crop judging contest had two champions. We are not surprised it was Iowa State won and Kansas State. They had to split the collegiate crop judging national title. At least it made sense. You know, it wasn't Brooklyn College of Law, right? It was. Anyway, this thing is put on by the American Society of, and I'm going to say it wrong, which tells you how much I know about crops, agronomy. Is that it?
Agronomy.
There you go. I don't know, man. Some good Iowa sweet corn, though. I know what that's about. So, first off, the National Crops Judging Contest consists of three parts. Plant and seed identification, commercial grain grading, and seed analysis.
Oh, my.
So, you got to be good at all three. The issue here is Kansas City has the American Royal Crops Contest, which is presented by Corteva Agriscience. And then Chicago has its Collegiate Crops Contest, which is presented by the CME Group. Amazingly, they go to the Loyola Water Tower campus, like right there in town, just near north side of Chicago for the crop judging. Yeah. Where Kansas City, you go to the National Grain Center.
That sounds
sure. Who hasn't stopped by the National Grain Center?
The famous National Grain Center.
This is like the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl war. Like, which bowl is you call yourself the granddaddy? But we got New Orleans. You got the Sunset. We got Bourbon Street. The problem is both teams entered both contests.
Ooh. Whoa.
So, Iowa State won the Chicago crop contest, but then when it got closer to home turf in Kansas City, and I was in Missouri, K-State won it behind a stellar performance by Ellie Braun, who won the individual title.
Good for Ellie.
Ellie came in fourth in Chicago. I think the tall buildings made her, I don't know. Megan Blauwet of Iowa State did well there, and then Megan came in second. So she's really the individual champ. Anyway, we got two. What are we going to do here? Kansas City and Chicago got to get their
This is no, I think you're right though. This is like, you know, home court in the playoffs or something. Like, you know, when you're at home, you win. A little tougher on the road, but seed analysis, is that you said there's like seed grain and seed analysis or something?
Yeah, and not like marijuana. Then we'd have all sorts of different contenders here.
We would.
We would.
Berkeley, Cal Berkeley,
Cal Berkeley, Bucks, Boulder, yeah. CU Boulder. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. No, this is fascinating now. You did good research here by Dan.
Yeah, not bad.
Learning the Twin Tower events of crop judging.
Pretty proud of myself.
We need, now look, college football figured it out, how to have one championship. The crop judging people have got to figure this out. They've got to get together and they need a BCS championship or a crop judging playoff to get this down to one title, not this split national title stuff. We cannot have this.
Don't make me write a book.
Also, where is the SEC in this? I'm surprised there's not an SEC team in the mix. You know, just means more, but apparently not. Not more crop judging.
When you get in the Midwest is crop central.
Yeah.
There or Fresno State.
So we had, Kansas City went K-State, Iowa State, then Minnesota, Crookston, Wisconsin, Platteville, South Dakota State, and Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Chicago, we had Iowa State, K-State, then Wisconsin, Platteville. I guess they're the... Minnesota Crookston. I don't know who gets silver, who gets bronze, I mean, between South Dakota State, fifth again, and then Virginia Tech, ACC.
Virginia Tech,
jumping in there. Mm. Sixth place in Chicago.
The first, like, non-Midwest.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Bill Hancock will be the director of the formal playoff.
Yeah. Get the Sagarin rating. We need Sagarin ratings on the crop judging.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure what we're going to get out of that. All right, finally, pour one out for the Cheez-It Bowl.
Mm.
Weren't there two Cheez-It Bowls, though?
Yes, there were.
Okay, so now there's one?
I don't know. We might be down to none.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts instead.
Yes, it is now, the Cheez-It Bowl is now the Pop-Tart Bowl. ACC versus Big 12. The Pop-Tart Bowl is in. The question, let's see, it may, yeah, the, will they dump Pop-Tarts on them? Mm-hmm. Toasted or not toasted, it was asked. I don't know who wrote this story. Someone asked the director. He said he had two this morning. Glenn Gilbo,
whole double G, huh?
Double G apparently is the head of the. I don't know.
He must have written the story.
Yeah,
double G is a sports writer.
Yeah, he's a sports writer out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He probably wrote the story. Yeah. No, he's.
I don't know what happened here. I'm okay.
If double G is directing anything, steer
clear. I got that all wrong. I'm reading the story. He's in the story. Yeah, okay. All right. Will the Pop-Tarts have real strawberry in the filling? Do they have to step it up, or is this going to be the next scandal that there's not enough actual strawberry in the strawberry Pop-Tart?
This was, you know, given our extensive previous coverage of the lawsuit over whether there's real strawberries in the Pop-Tarts, this one is in our wheelhouse. And I do think that Pop-Tarts is exposing itself to additional legal risk here. I mean, they've apparently withstood the legal broadside well enough to sponsor the bowl. They've got enough money to do that. But, yes, are you now inviting more lawsuits given your Pop-Tart filling? You know, mm-hmm, we can even, mm-hmm. Will the winning coach, you know, break one open and have a bite and then say, this does not taste like real strawberry in here.
You're
risking some negative publicity when they're dumping Pop-Tarts on the coach.
My wife eats a Pop-Tart almost every morning, Liz, but I have gotten away from Pop-Tarts. I'm a fan of the old toaster strudels. when I was at least a kid, Toaster Strudels, it's probably, I guess, Pop-Tart's probably biggest rival. I need a Toaster Strudel bowl. They're soft and they're buttery and they're flaky. And they have filling. They have a lot more filling than a Pop-Tart.
Really?
Interesting.
Wow. I didn't even know there was an alternative to Pop-Tarts. It was just our
producer Sean helped us out with this. The Cheez-It bowl is gone. Now it's the Pop-Tart bowl. But it's the Pop-Tarts bowl. Because really, if you have, you don't want to have just one.
No. There's two in a pack for a reason. You know, you've opened the little foil wrapper.
Yeah. Yeah. However, the Cheez-It citrus bowl exists.
Mm, okay.
So it's the citrus bowl sponsored by Cheez-It. That's so.
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
that's good.
All
I don't,
of these
I don't
are done down in Orlando.
Good. I don't want Cheez-Its completely out of the mix.
Yeah, we would hate
good,
for that.
They've been good to us.
They have. They had the best NIL deal, too, last year. Remember the room? Yeah. They had a Cheez-It room. It was, like, decorated and nothing but Cheez-It stuff. It looked like a Cheez-It dinosaur just took a big dump in a hotel room and just splattered it all with Cheez-It colors and everything. And I think it was a player, right? Like a player from each team got to stay a night in the Cheez-It room. And I don't know if that was a it's more like, oh, you get to spend one night in jail. How fun. Because it looks, I don't know that I'd sleep very well in that room.
Did you say a Cheez-It dinosaur took a giant dump?
Yeah, that's what it is. I don't know.
I am looking at this Cheez-It room. All right, so it's not made of Cheez-Its. It's just a Cheez-It decorated room.
Plaster. That was like all kind of Cheez-Its.
It's disgusting smelling now. The Cheez-Its. I mean, it's straight out of the Cheez-It box. Yeah, you got to sleep in a Cheez-It. Yeah, look at this. They have beds. And I wonder if you can get cheesiest Walmart.
Pretty brilliant, like NIL type of strategy. Bulls have to use their sponsors because of the NCAA rule. Bulls can't strike deals with players to market the game, but their sponsors can in a way. And that was a really kind of creative way. I think we're going to see probably more of that from Bulls coming.
Well, let's get to Lexington and get the Cheez-It. That'll take care of a couple guys.
There you go.
People are worried
Dan
about
Wetzel
staying
moves
in the
into his dorm room this weekend. He's going to want the Cheez-It decor.
I'm coming, Wildcats. C-A-T-S. Cats, cats, cats. All right.
We didn't get it. Dan, how did we go through the whole pod and not talk about SEC future scheduling format? 8 or 9? Hey, everybody wants to know.
Can turn in last episode. Go back.
Yeah, right. We'll get to it when they make a decision. How about that?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, June. We're rolling, baby. We're rolling.
Thursday. Later today on Thursday, or hopefully Friday.
We might
afternoon.
Have a decision.
We'll have some kind of it won't be a long-term schedule. It'll be more short-term, like a year or two, where I think they're considering doing the eight game model, like you mentioned earlier. That's still the plan, I believe.
But they'll make sure Texas and Texas A&M play right out the gate.
I would imagine they will match up teams that in 2024 where you preserve certainly primary rivalries, but you also preserve the secondaries, Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M. And then maybe during 2025.
ESPN's got to demand that, or else they're showing Charlotte versus Maryland on primetime. They're looking at what NBC's going through and going, what did we just buy? At least they bought the SEC. All right, show's got to end. We will talk to you guys. Keep subscribing, sharing us on social media, tell your friends about us. Look, we have a good time even in June. We will talk to you later.